I want to just acknowledge Pastor Cobbs for allowing me this opportunity to stand before you. And I am going to go right into the word, so I'm not even going to waste a minute here. So I'm first going to go to God in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Master, I come before you right now, thanking you for who you are. Thanking you, dear Master, for keeping watch over us as we slumbered and slept, not knowing what was going on around us, but yet, dear Master, you protected us and you kept us. And you touched us, dear Master, and you gave us another chance, another opportunity to come to you, to uplift you, to magnify you, and to bless your name. This is your day, dear Master. We need to rejoice and we need to be glad in it because of who you are in our lives. And we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you are about to do at this very moment. Now let your word go forth. Breathe on your word. Let your word touch, dear Master. And we will be careful to give you and you alone the praise and you alone the glory, because you and you alone are only deserving and worthy of it. In the sweet name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I am going to be looking at Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to begin at verse 6. So Matthew 26, beginning at verse 6. And so this is what it says, beginning in verse 6. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me." And I'm going to go back to verse 8 just for a little emphasis, because the disciples are saying in verse 8, when they saw this, they were indignant, and they're saying, "Why this waste?" they asked. And I simply want to title this, "Waste Not, Want Not." Waste not, want not. You can be seated. I remember as a child growing up, my mother would put certain food items in front of me that she thought was good for me. And I remember there were times I would look at the food, then I would look at my mother. Then I look at my mother, then I look at the food. And I would say to myself, because I was no fool back then, I wouldn't say anything to my mother, "I don't want this. I don't want to eat this. I don't know why she put this in front of me." And it was almost as if she could be reading my mind at that moment, because her famous phrase was, "Waste not, want not." And what she was saying at that particular time is, go ahead and eat it now. Don't waste it, because if you eat it now and not waste it, you're not going to want anything later. Waste not, want not. But as a child, I couldn't actually understand that, because all I could think in my childlike ways with this food in front of me is, "I don't want it. It's not good enough for me. It doesn't have enough sugar, enough sweets, enough fat, all those good stuff that kids like to eat." But yet my mother put something in front of me that she thought was good for me. And I began to think about that as I got older. Waste not, want not. How many of us really are indulging in things that really aren't good for us? How many of us are indulging in things that aren't good for us? And what happens is then we begin to just waste our lives on things that are not good for us. The more you waste your lives on things that are not good for you, then you begin to want other things because you're not satisfied with what's in front of you. And I began to think about that. How many of us have this wasteful mentality? Waste not, want not. Because, you know, if we can be truthful with ourselves, many of us are overly indulging in a lot of things. Some of us are careers. Some of us, we are looking at the paycheck. We're looking at the month. And there's more days in the month, but not enough on the paycheck. So then we begin to go out and we get more jobs because we need more money because we have more days in the month. We overindulge in that, but yet really and truly, we think that's good for us when in reality, maybe we just need to look at our finance and manage our finances better. But maybe we're overindulging in our careers because we're trying to work our own self up the corporate ladder. We're trying to do it our way. Because, I mean, after all, it's all about us. Or maybe we're overindulging in our children. Whatever little Johnny wants or little boo-boo wants or whoever that is, we give it to them. Yeah. All they got to do is say, Mommy and Daddy, please, and we're going to go buy it. No, we can't afford it, but we're going to get it for them. And we put all our time and our effort and our energy into our kids. And heaven forbid if the teacher tells you anything about little Johnny, because you're going to take little Johnny's side, even though little Johnny's up in that schoolhouse acting a fool. But we put all our time and our effort and energy into our kids. Maybe we're overindulging in our relationships because we're looking for Mr. Right and Mrs. Right. And we're going to do everything that we can looking for Mr. Right and Mrs. Right. But on the flip side of that, we're overindulging in our self-image because we're looking for Mr. Right and Mrs. Right. We weren't raised to act this way and dress this way and talk this way, but we're compromising ourselves because we're looking for Mr. Right and Mrs. Right. So we put all our energy and effort into wasteful things. And what happens is we find ourselves looking and searching and wanting more because we're not satisfied. We keep dipping in this and dabbling in that. And the more we do that, it's more focused on that and less on God. So when we're looking at this, I believe that this particular woman in this text, she has a remedy for the I want syndrome. And the very first thing about this remedy is she found faith. And let's look at verse 6 real quick here. It says, while Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. This particular woman, her name is Mary. Mary is the sister of Martha, and she has a brother named Lazarus. Now, Mary is going to Jesus. She's taking this oil, and she's pouring it over his head. But in order for Mary to do that, there's something that has to be happening. You don't just pour oil on somebody's head unless there's something that you believe in that person, because oil signifies set apart. So Mary is going and pouring this oil because she recognizes who Jesus is. I recognize this is the Messiah, the promised one, the deliverer, the healer. There's something about this man. He's not like everybody else. He's special. He's unique. He has a certain quality about him. She goes to him and pours oil on his head because she has faith in who he is. But she has faith in who he is because of what he's done in her life. Because, see, Jesus was the very one that resurrected her brother Lazarus from the dead. And if you go further in your text and read about Lazarus, Mary and Martha sends word to Jesus. Hey, our brother is sick. We need you to come. But by the time Jesus gets there, it's 4 days later. Lazarus is dead. And Mary and Martha is going to Jesus. If you had just been here, Jesus, maybe he'd still be alive. It's 4 days. Our brother is dead. And Jesus' response is, let's go to the grave. Roll over the stone. No, Jesus, you're not understanding. He's dead. There's an odor that's taking place now. It's been 4 days. No. And Jesus is still saying, roll over the stone. And when he gets to that, Jesus says a very simple command, come out, Lazarus. She went to him because of what he did for her. 4 days, he's dead. 4 days, he's out. He's in the grave. We've had our ceremony, we've mourned, we've wept. Jesus, you should have been here. But see, here's the thing, it's not about our time. It's about Jesus' time. He might not come when you want him, but he really is always on time. And my question to you is, what has God resurrected from your life? The very fact that you're sitting right here, guess what? Resurrection. Somebody counted you out. Somebody said you were no good. Somebody said we can't use you. They neglected you. They misused you, mistreated you. But guess what? The fact that you're standing and sitting right here, God took you out of a dead situation.
Right.
She went to him because she had faith in who he was, what he had done in her life. The very first thing about this remedy of this I want syndrome is she found faith. Now, here's the second thing. And I'm going to be done pretty soon. She found faith. That's the first remedy. Now, here's the second thing about this remedy. I think you just need to keep taking the right medicine. You know what I mean by that? Keep taking the right medicine and don't listen to the naysayers. Now let's go back into the text. Look at verse 8. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. The disciples are the very one who've been studying under Jesus, following him, learning from him. They knew who Jesus was. And what they are doing is the very ones who were closest to Jesus is the very ones who criticized what Mary was doing. And here's the thing. They're saying, why this waste? Mary's taking this oil, pouring it over Jesus. It's almost as if to say, why waste this on you, Jesus? The very ones who were closest to Jesus was the very ones who criticized what Mary did. Think about your life. The very ones who are closest to you, your family, your friends, would be the very ones that criticize what you do. So when I say I want to encourage you to keep taking that medicine, keep putting your faith and your trust in Jesus. Because you're going to have some people that are going to tell you you're wasting your time. Just like the disciples said about Mary. You're wasting your time going up to that church house. Why are you always up at that church house? Why are you always not talking about Jesus? Why are you not always want to give your money to the church house? Why are you always studying your Bible? Why are you always want to talk about going to Bible study? They're going to remind you of who you used to be, what you used to do, what you used to say. And I want to encourage you to keep taking your medicine. Don't believe, as they say, the hype. Ignore the haters. Let them hate. Give them a reason to hate. Keep taking your medicine. But now here's the thing. We gotta remember our remedy is that she found faith. Keep taking your medicine. But let's look at something. How does she take the medicine? That's what I want to look at. How does she take it? She went to Jesus. He's reclining. Ladies, wait, Miss Ariana. Yeah. This is my teacher thing coming in me. Not he's reclining. Now, Jesus is relaxed, reclining. She doesn't go to him, to the feet. She goes to him to the head. How did she take the medicine? She went to the head. What does that mean? That means that when you are taking your medicine, make sure that Jesus is the head and first and foremost in everything in your life. She took her medicine because he was at the head. He was at the front of her life. When we take our medicine, we got to be reminded of how we're taking it. Is he head of our life? Is he first and foremost in our life? But now here's another thing of how she took the medicine. Alabaster jar. She took this jar and she poured it over his head. With the alabaster jar, in order to get those contents out, you have to break the jar. You have to break the jar. And here's the thing. Once you break the jar, the contents will begin to be used quickly. You want to use it quickly so it won't run out because you can't reseal the jar. So the disciples, when she took the oil and she poured it over his head, they're saying to her, you're wasting this. In other words, you're almost like you're letting it just go all over the place. You got to use it quickly. Don't waste this. So with the alabaster jar, you have to break it over the head. We are alabaster jars. We have a fragrance about us that's sweet. We've been bought with a price, sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. There is something that is sweet and special about us. And God has tapped it inside of each and every last one of us. But in order for him to actually fully use it, we got to break. We have to come to the head in our broken state. But here's the thing. When you are allowing yourself to be broken, he don't want just a little bit. He don't want just this part of you or just that part of you. He wants all of you. So the thing with the disciples, with Mary, they're saying she was wasting it. Because with the oil, once the jar is broken, you have to use this quickly. And so that is what he's looking for us. He's looking for us to come to him and come to him as all. Sacrifice everything. He's not looking for just a little bit of you on Monday, a little bit of you on Wednesday, all of you on Sunday, and then throughout the week. No, he wants all of you. He is looking for you to come to him in a broken state. He's looking for you to stop wasting your lives on things that are not good for you. And he wants you to come to him and say, here I am, broke and all, Lord. I place you at the head of my life first and foremost. That's what he's looking for. I guarantee you begin to place him at the head, and I guarantee you begin to allow all of you to be taken and used by him. You won't have to keep looking. You won't have to keep wanting. You won't have to keep searching. He's going to fill that void that you have in your life. So I encourage you to take your medicine. I encourage you to keep taking your medicine. I encourage you to ignore what people say about you. Ignore what they're saying, how you used to be, and keep taking your medicine. Because guess what? There are rewards for taking the right medicine. When you take your medicine, the thing about the medicine, you have to take it, and you have to keep taking it on a regular basis. That's the only way the medicine is going to be good for you. You keep taking it. You don't take it one day and then stop and I didn't feel like it and then go back. No, you keep taking it so it can begin to work in your system. And there are rewards, because when you're taking your medicine, it's a defense mechanism that's guarding your body from all those toxins. Because you know what? When the disciples are criticizing, what does Jesus say? He says in verse 10, why are you bothering this woman? The very ones who was criticizing her, Jesus came to her defense. And that's what it means when you take the right medicine. He becomes a defense mechanism for you. He'll come to your defense. He just wants you to keep taking the right medicine. And don't get discouraged. You might not see results right away. When you take the medicine, it takes a while to get in your system. But I encourage you to keep taking it. Keep taking that medicine, because with Mary, she thought Lazarus was done. It was 4 days. But yet Lazarus, in his dead situation, was resurrected. Keep taking your medicine. And guess what? Don't let them get you off track. Ignore the naysayers. Let them talk. Let them look. Let them whisper. Because the more they look, the more they talk, the more they whisper, and you keep taking your medicine, there are going to be some things about you that they're going to notice. Because pretty soon, you're not going to walk the same. When you used to walk with this discouragement, woe is me, I keep searching and looking and wanting something to happen. But then pretty soon, you're going to be walking with your head up high, with a little stride, a little pep in your step. Let them talk. Pretty soon, you're going to be talking differently. You used to talk as a defeatist, but now you're going to talk as a victorious, because that's what God does for you if you keep taking the right medicine. There are rewards for taking the right medicine. So let them look, let them whisper, let them talk. Because pretty soon, the more you take the right medicine, they're going to come up to you, girl, you look good. What you been doing? You been working now, dude? You all up in the gym, all buff? What you been doing? And you can tell them, I got this new medicine. And I'm taking my medicine. And my medicine is named Jesus. I take him morning. I take him noonday. I take him evening. So waste not, want not. Don't look for things to fill a void. Don't allow yourself to be indulging in this and that, wasting your lives away. Just go to the head in your broken state. Allow Jesus to take over. Keep taking your medicine. Keep praying to God. Keep seeking God. And watch what God does in your life. Thank you. Amen.